Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
14 minutes from now at 1 o'clock, Jeremy Kahn joins me. 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore. We'll ask him about the Ravens, who the Redskins play tonight. Also next hour, your Honda drive around the league. Let you know what's going on in the NL East tonight. Nats fans feeling good about themselves after yesterday. 10 more runs, 14 more hits. Really doesn't matter what their lineup is. Dusty Baker putting together a lineup the last couple of days with a guy who hit 260 in the minor leagues, hitting second. And he gets multiple hits both nights, and they keep bringing runs to the plate. Everything he touches turns to gold. 10 runs, multi-run innings four different times last evening as they run away with the NL East. A great quick pitch is up for you. Brought to you by Elephant Auto Insurance. We post on Tuesdays. If you're a big Nats fan and you don't know a lot about their best prospects in the minor leagues, the guys they held on to, Victor Robles, Eric Fetty, who just debuted, no, but the names Soto and Keboom don't mean anything to you, listen to the DC Quick Pitch this week and familiarize yourself. Those are the future Nationals who are going to help keep them relevant as some of their stars move on. You can find the Quick Pitch at play.it and on iTunes. So I mentioned that I just don't get, on this, the first day of the preseason, a lot of excitement from you about Jonathan Allen, which is weird to me, because he's the first-round pick, and that normally is kind of the needle mover, right? Who did they draft in the first round? That's the guy whose jersey you're buying. That's the guy in the first preseason that everyone's going to be paying attention to. And he's like a forgotten man, and I'm saying, why is that? Well, Dar had the idea, and this is actually not a bad theory. He said, well, what about Josh Doctson last year? You know, people got burned with the Doctson excitement because that's actually one of those electrifying names. You draft a wide receiver with the great college film. He catches a 57-yard pass in week two. You're feeling like he's about to really break out. And then he ends up never getting healthy, and you get burned. But I think it goes further than that, right? So Doctson was hurt all of last year, and Cravens, who you felt real good about, missed the end of the season, and Fuller was a disappointment. Matt Ioannidis may as well have not even been on the field. Nate Sudfeld was kept on the roster for some reason unbeknownst to me. Steven Daniels didn't even get to the active September roster, and Keith Marshall didn't either. So last year, their draft class, and I still think in the end it's going to look pretty good, but it was a dud for at least last season. Fuller going to be better this year. Craven still has a bright future. I think Doctson's a star if he's healthy. So that's your first three rounds. But just for last season, you had your hand burned, so you don't want to touch that pot again, do you? And as I look back before last year in the first round, when was the last time you actually were really excited about a first rounder? I think Redskins fans are a little bit out of practice on what it feels like to properly support and endorse a guy that just got drafted 17th overall. Because Doctson was hurt last year at this time, wasn't going to be playing in these preseason games. He didn't go through the motions then. Brandon Scherff in 2015 was the fifth pick. He's a guard. If Leonard Williams was taken then, we would have had a rookie hoopla. We would have had a circus following that guy around that everybody loved. His jersey would have been sold by the thousands. Instead, you got a guard. And he's a good one. He's a pro bowler. But Brandon Scherff didn't put the Triscuit crackers in your stomach. He doesn't get you excited. So then you go back the year before that. They didn't have a first-round pick in 2014. Their second-round pick was Trent Murphy, who wasn't any good until last year in 2016. Their mid-round picks, Morgan Moses, now very good, didn't get on the field initially, Spencer Long. So you go back the year before that. I'm all the way back to 2013 now to find the last time in this town we had a rookie to be excited to watch in the preseason. That was a first-round pick. David Amerson was taken 51 overall in round two. They didn't have a first-round pick in 2013. So you got to go back to 2012. And guess who? Robert Griffin. Remember how that one ended? Bet you do. So while, yes, that's the last time and you got the season you were hoping for, and at this point, several years later, we know that it didn't go well, you can still look back on that season and go, the last time we had a first-round rookie that I thought was going to be a big impact on the team was Robert Griffin. I mean, basically, it's Trent Williams and Ryan Kerrigan the last time that they drafted players who were here for an extended period of time in the first round that were beloved by the fan base and performed more than as a flash in the pan. So maybe that is why there is a hesitance to get behind Jonathan Allen. And you add to that he fell in the draft about 14 picks lower than people thought he was going to. You add to that the rumors and the speculation about his shoulder. And that, I think, is where some of the skepticism and the lack of the excitement comes from. But I need pom-poms here from you guys. I need you to pick it up with this guy a little bit. There's a million things about this team you should dislike and be worried about and stressed about and be upset about and be negative Nellies about. Jonathan Allen's not one of them. That's a bad position where they haven't been effective enough and they haven't had young up-and-coming talent and they finally got a dude. Because we know what it looks like when you just, no disrespect, Ziggy Hood, Cullen Jenkins, have guys that are out there. Just nothing but Jags. You get run on for 130 yards against the Giants in Week 17 in a game you need against a offense that doesn't want to be on the field. You need Jonathan Allen if you're going to be a real good defense. Travis is in D.C. What's up, Travis?
Hey, what's going on, bud?
Chilling.
I think it's because he's more of Charles Mann instead of Dexter Manley. If his college teammate was the first pick, it would be more buzz because of his interviews and how crazy he talks. He's more exciting. I just think he's like mellow. He's a mellow dude.
So it's
he's
a personality thing.
On the field, aggressive. Yes, yeah.
I actually think you're right. You know, I do. I think it's twofold, though, because I think what I just alluded to over the last several minutes, the recent lack of success of first-round picks is part of it. Because I do think we're out of practice. But if he was a sellable, marketable, vicarious, big, booming personality who was craving attention, you know, if he was big on the radio or on television, I think a lot of his jerseys would be sold in this town. And I'm sure plenty still are, but not to the extent that normally would be the case for a first-round pick. I would be willing to bet you money that more Josh Doctson jerseys sold between the draft and August last year than Jonathan Allen jerseys. That shouldn't be the case. Jonathan Allen was maybe the best defensive player in the nation for much of last season on a team that played for a national championship. He wasn't just a good player in a good offense at Texas Christian. You know, and they went in similar areas. He went about five picks ahead of Doctson. But a lot of people felt like he was a top five name in the entire draft class. I think personality is part of it. I was talking to a player recently about this. He said, you know, why do certain guys get all the attention and certain guys don't? I'm like, what do you mean? He goes, well, why is it that, as an example, the example he gave me, that Bryce Harper is so much more famous and reputable than Mike Trout? I kind of thought about that, and I said, well, there's probably a lot of reasons. I mean, I don't know, you could boil it down to one thing. But market has something to do with it being in D.C. And being a part of a better winning team probably helps has something to do with it. But I think a lot of it comes back to personality. A lot of it comes back to, this is such a, you know, almost like a negative word, so I hesitate to use it, but are you a boring personality or not? Mike Trout is the best player in baseball. It's not close. He could retire in a couple seasons and be a Hall of Famer. He's one of the best players I've ever seen in my life. As a dude, and I've interviewed him a bunch, both on the phone when he was in the minors and in the majors, and in person, he's kind of a boring guy. He just doesn't have a lot to say. There's nothing wrong with that. Watch the movie 61, Billy Crystal's HBO film on the 61 Yankees home run chase. Mickey Mantle was the opposite of Roger Maris. Roger Maris just wanted to be a dude that lived his life. He just was another guy at the sports bar. Mickey Mantle lived for the attention, craved that spotlight. He was more marketable, more sellable, because he said and did what the media and what fans wanted him to do. Roger Maris just wanted to get home and hang out with his wife and his kid. Some guys are that way. I think Jonathan Allen's the kind of guy that would be really happy, based on what I know from the outside, and I don't know the guy personally at all. He'd be really happy if he was never on TV or, you know, approached about doing some national campaign. I think he'd be just as happy as if he was. And maybe that is why there's just not that much of a building drumbeat for a guy that I think Redskins fans should be really, really happy and excited about. We'll see him tonight in Baltimore. Jeremy Kahn covers the Ravens, 105.7 The Fan. That's the opponent tonight. We'll get the latest on how much their starters will play, what we should expect from this evening's game next on Grant and Danny on The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.